Before I get into a Rashi in Parshas Bereishis, I want to bring up a side that I want to, with Hashem's help and with your help, clarify. I think it's a big chizuk and it's very important you say. In the Torah, I was just trying to find the pasuk, it's in Chumash Devarim. I didn't find it in time. But the pasuk describes that when Bilam tried to curse Klal Yisrael, so Bilam tried to bring down Klal Yisrael. You know that Bilam, Chazal tell us that he was Yodea Das Elyon. He knew that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world with Midas Adin, and he wanted to say one word at that moment that would end Klal Yisrael. That word was, anybody know? That word was Kalem. Kalem, Taisva says, is the opposite. If you read Kalem backwards, it spells Melech. Because it says one of the things that Bilam says was Lehibit Oven Biyakov, Vileira Omal Biyisrael, Hashem Elekov Imoi, Usruas Melech Boy. That moment that he said Usruas Melech Boy was the moment he was going to say Kalem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu twisted everything around and Kalem came out as Melech. That's what Taisva says. But the pasuk, when it describes, and it fits very well with this chazal, the pasuk, when it describes what happened, Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayahafoy Hashem. Hashem turned it over and turned the klala into a bracha. He didn't just fight it. He didn't just end it. He turned the klala into a bracha. What causes Hashem to not just fight it and not just end it, but to transform the klala into a bracha? In order to understand that, I want to learn a Rashi with you that I think most of the time we don't understand. Most of the time when we learn this Rashi, we're not understanding what's happening. Rashi is midayik in the first pasuk of the Torah. The pasuk says, Bereishis bara Elohim. Elohim is one of the names of Hashem. Now we know, let's get our amunah straight, the fundamentals, the foundations. We know that we have no way to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This that there are different names of Hashem, what are they? They are different ways that Hashem interacts with us. That's the only thing that we understand. We could understand how Hashem is relating to us. And one of the names of Hashem, which is one of the ways that Hashem relates to us, is with the word Elohim. Elohim is which midah of Hashem?
Din.
Midas Hadin. Elohim is Midas Hadin. In fact, a Dayan in Lashon Kodesh is called Elohim. Right? Elohim Leisakalel. That's a Dayan. So Din, that's the word Elohim. So Rashi wants to know why the Torah says Bereishis bara Elohim. And Rashi points out that later on in the story of Maisa Bereishis, it says, Biyoim Asois Hashem. Hashem refers to which name of Hashem?
Mercy.
Right, which name is it?
Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei.
Right, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and that's the shame of Rachamim, right? And that name of Hashem is mentioned later on. Biyoim Asois Hashem Elohim, in the day that Hashem Elohim, Rachamim Din, made Eretz Shamayim. Okay? So Rashi has a kasha. How come in the beginning it doesn't say Hashem, just in the end? The Rashi answers. Anybody know the Rashi? Rashi answers.
We're going to hold back.
So Rashi says, "Betchila Allah b'machshava." Originally, it came up in Hashem's machshava, "Livroi es ha'olam b'midas hadin," to create the world with just din. But Hashem saw that the world can't survive that. So therefore, and the Lashon of Rashi is, Lefikach, therefore, V'hikdim midas rachamim. He was makdim. What does makdim mean? He put first the midas rachamim, V'shatva l'midas adin. And he partnered it with midas adin. So Hashem originally was going to create the world with midas adin. He saw that the world can't handle it. So he put first midas rachamim, and he partnered it with midas adin. Okay, first of all, I have no shaychus to be able to do this, to start getting into Kabbalistic, philosophical topics. But I am philosophical enough to know that Hashem wasn't like, oh, I really want to do this. Shucks, I can't do this. Okay, I'll do it this way. I am sure that that's not what happened. Does everybody agree with me? Okay, so we need a pshat here. What happened? Because originally this, and then the end that. Like, what is that? And secondly, what does it mean that Hashem was makdim midas harachamim? What's the pasha pshat? What does it mean he was makdim? He was partnered midas harachamim with midas adin. What does it mean he was makdim?
Primary.
What?
Primary second.
Primary second. Rachamim was first
stage.
First of all, where's Rachamim first?
It's not. It wasn't first. He changed.
What does it mean that he was makdim? I just want a pasha pshat. Pashup Shad is because the lashon of the pasuk is B'yayim Asais Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim, which is first. Hashem Elokim, which is first. Rachamim. So Hikdim Midas Rachamim. Okay. So I want to explain what's happening here. What's happening is like this. Rabbi say, and this is very, very, very important because you're all here living in this world. It's a confusing world. This week it's been exceedingly confusing. If someone could just tell me, clarify for me for a second, why did Hashem create the world?
To bring
what?
For us.
To give to us.
Chesed.
To bring godliness into the world.
He wants to do chesed.
Very good. Okay. I'm very relieved because often I do this. I ask a crowd why Hashem created the world. And people say things like, for the Torah, or so that we should do mitzvahs. And it's very sweet, but it's not the answer. Hashem created the world, as many of you said, to give us pleasure, for us, for chesed and rachamim. Hashem created the world because one of the things that we know about Hashem is that He is a native. He is a giver. And Hashem wanted to share Himself with others. And you and I are the lucky recipients of that will of Hashem. That He wants to share Himself with others. And that's why Hashem created the world. That's why the name of Hashem that involves Chesed is which name? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is what name is that? What is that known as? Does anybody know? The shame?
I'm afraid.
What? Shame Havaya. Right? Yud Hey and Vav and Hey is the shame Havaya. What does Havaya mean?
Enter.
Creating. Havaya is to bring into existence. The name with which Hashem created the world was that name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because Hashem created the world with a purpose of chesed. Can anybody quote to me a pasuk that says that Hashem created the world for kindness? Very good. Olam chesed yibana. Where is that pasuk? Tilim. Capital Pei Tes in Tehillim. Olam chesed yibana. Okay, so could somebody explain to me why Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas Adin? You realize the hole I just dug for myself?
Well, what's a world without Din?
Hashem wants to give me good. He creates me and gives me good.
Then we'll take everything for granted.
Okay.
And we'll
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to get into all the cheshbonos here. There is a cheshbon. If you want to learn it, those of you, and many of you, are intelligent enough and philosophical enough to be able to follow. If you really want to see this and it's really its pristine clarity, you should learn the beginning of the Sefer Derech Hashem, written by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzatu, the author of Mesilas Yesharim. And you will see the clarity of why Hashem did this. But the bottom line, if you want to know what the bottom line is, that in order for us to get all of that delicious schar and pleasure, we need to self-generate it. We need to generate it for ourselves. Just to receive it from Hashem, that's not the highest level of schar. The highest level of schar is when we bring it on ourselves. And the only way for us to bring it on ourselves is for Hashem to make a tremendous chiddush that Hashem created something that only He has in the entire universe. He's the only one that has it, and that is called Bechira, free will. And Hashem gave us this godly kayach that we can make choices. There's nothing else in the Bria can. Not malachim, not animals, only us. Hashem gave us this godly ability to make choices, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us good and bad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a midas hadin, that when we do good, there's schar, and when we do bad, there's einish. And that is how we get our schar. If you're asking yourself, okay, thank you, but why? Learn the Derech Hashem. Maybe we'll do it here one Thursday night. But the midas hadin with which Hashem created the world, the structure with which Hashem created the world, is for the purpose of giving us that pleasure, that chesed for which He created the world. Am I making sense here? Now, think about this. If Hashem wanted to create the world to give me pleasure, and Hashem sets up a world with midas hadin, and it's never going to lead to pleasure, so that doesn't work. If Hashem created the world because He wants me to get pleasure, but the midas hadin is so powerful that I never make it to the finish line, so then the way that He created the world gets in the way of the why that He created the world. You see that? And that's crazy. That doesn't work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took rachamim, and he partnered it with din to soften the din enough so that we could get the reason that the world was created, so we could get that ultimate schar. For example, He gave us the ability to do tshuva, like we just did this last month of Tishrei. And we could do tshuva, and then we could go up to Shemayim when the day comes, and we have no aveira. Do you know that? All of you are sitting here, small little piles of aveiras. I don't know why yeshiva bachurim like to think they're walking around at all times lugging an 18-wheeler of averas. But it's not true. You just did tshuva. You had a couple of days to do averas. You learned the Torah, so that knocks off a lot. You did a ton of mitzvahs. You tried, you know. Maybe you did a few averas, maybe a couple of days, but nothing. You could leave the 18-wheeler at home. It's the basket on your bicycle that you're carrying your averas in right now, okay? That's the rachamim that Hashem was mishatef with the midas hadin. Because it could be we had an 18-wheeler before Elul came around. That's possible. But now, after we went through a month of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yasar Simei Tshuva and Shabbos Tshuva and Yom Kippur, we got rid of the 18-wheeler. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, that He was mishatef the midas rachamim with the midas hadin. And why does it say, Shimshi, that He put it before? Why does it say that He put it before the midas hadin? Because it's based on what came before. Because it's based on the midas hachesed, which is the reason for the creation of midas hadin. You see from here, Hashem created a yesod in the Bria. The yesod is, and this is what was happening here, that when I bring something into this world, if this thing that I bring into the world is going to not allow me to accomplish the reason that I created the world, it has to bend. Make sense? A guy starts a business. Why did he start the business? Because he wants to make money. The business doesn't make money. He sits down with his managers and he says, something's wrong here. The business doesn't make money. So the manager's like, no, everything's running perfectly. We're just not making money. Okay, it's one thing. But everything's running perfectly. Like, no, I started this business to make money. If I'm not making money, so then we have to do something different. That's how Hashem says, yes, Midas Adin is the way to get there. But if Midas Adin is not going to bring us to the finish line, yeah, we're going to need to attach some rachamim to that din. Which brings me back to Bilam. Bilam made a fatal mistake. And Goyim Bechlal make this mistake. Amalek is a expert on making this mistake. And even though I know right now we're in the middle of a war with Yishmael, Amalek's always in there somewhere. Amalek is the source of all evil. But anyway, listen to this Nekuda, which is important. Bilam didn't want to hurt Klal Yisrael. He wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael. That was a fatal error. You can't wipe out Klal Yisrael. The world was created for Klal Yisrael. Bereishis. Bishvil Yisrael Shanikra Reishis, Rashi says. The world was created for Klal Yisrael. The moment that you set your sights on the existence of Klal Yisrael, you have signed your death warrant. Because you can't survive that, because you're getting in the way of the entire reason the world was created. So as soon as Bilam said Kalem, it crumbled on the spot. It can't exist. And the way that Hashem shows that is that it's not just that Hashem conquers the Kalem itself turns into a bracha. Because there's no such a thing. You cannot take on the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. We are here to stay. And if you have any doubt that we are here to stay, just learn a tiny bit of our history. The power, you know, I was learning something, I don't even know what this is, Nigeia. I just was so inspired. I have this thing, every once in a while, I like to spend some time learning history. So I spent so on Chol Hamoed, I like revisited some of my history books and I was learning about it. And what part of history do I happen to be learning about now? I'll tell you why this part another time. I'm learning about the history of the very end of the second Beis HaMikdash. The time of the very end, towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a king whose name was Hordas, Herod the Great. And Hordas was not really Jewish, he was an Idumean. And he was a crazy, crazy, crazy man. A crazy man. Alpi Chazal, he was crazy. And Alpi history, he was crazy. Kol Hadeus, Kule Alma Loi Pligi. That this man was a absolutely crazy person. Okay, the Gemara says that he blinded this Baba Mabuta's eyes. You know, I don't know if you guys learned in the first parak in Baba Basra. Insanity. Absolute insanity. And if you look at history, is an absolutely insane person as well. Absolutely insane person. He killed his wife and children because he was afraid that they were rebelling against him. This is a man, like it's the like definition of insanity. He executed his children. Okay, you understand? He executed his adult children. Okay. I want just parenthetically, you guys have to leave? You good? You have time for... We're good? What? This is very interesting, okay? This is worth it, okay? Parenthetically, I want to tell you something, okay? There was a Hashmonai princess. The Hashmonai were the kings before Hordas. There was a Hashmonai princess whose name was Miriam. Okay? If you open a history book, you will see that Hordas' queen was Miriam, the Hashmonai princess. And he had children from her. One of his most famous children, who was a king after him, one of them that survived, his name was Archelaus, and he was a son of Hordas and Miriam. Problem is, But the Gemara tells us that Miriam was dead. The Gemara says that there was a Chashmonai princess that Hordas wanted to marry, and she was like, there is no way that this is happening. And the Gemara says that she went up to the roof of the building and she jumped off. And before she jumped off, she says, anyone that says that they come from the Chashmonaim, they're a liar, because I'm the last Chashmonai and I'm about to kill myself. And she jumped off and she died. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that Hordas was such a crazy man that he took her body and preserved it in honey for 7 years, I think the Gemara says. He preserved her body, okay? So that's Hordas. Problem is that all the history books say that Miriam was this queen and had his children. This is a big problem. It's the Gemara and the history books are at odds with each other. There was a historian who was a huge, huge tzaddik at Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a history book called Dairus HaRishayim. And he writes, Dairus HaRishayim writes, this is like, you can write a movie about this. He writes that Hordas was a very, very scary king, and Miriam killed herself. He told everyone in the palace that if they tell anyone, he will kill them. He kept her body preserved for years, and he had children from shifchas, from maidservants, and he claimed that he has a queen that never comes out of the palace, you know, like Melania Trump. You know, he has like a queen that never comes out of the palace, you know, the reclusive Miriam, who's his queen, and she's the mother of his children, and she was dead. And the Chachmei Yisrael were the only ones that knew. They knew the secret, and they wouldn't say, but in Beis Medrash, when they were writing the Gemara, they knew it, and years later, they let out the secret, and they taught it to Klal Yisrael. Okay? Anyhow, this is what I was learning, but this is not the point I wanted to tell you. 10 more seconds, what? It's amazing. Okay? Anyway, Hordas, just to finish my history lesson, Hordas had a grandson. His grandson was the son of his son Aristobulus. His son Aristobulus was murdered by him, and when his grandson Agrippa, he's called in English. When he was 6 years old, he was sent to Rome, and he was a ben bias by Augustus, the first emperor of Rome, and he became an elder abacher. He became like an older friend to a young kid in the king's palace. You may have heard of him. His name is Caligula. Caligula was his nickname, okay? Caligula grew up to be one of the most infamous and insane emperors of Rome ever, okay? He appointed his horse to be on the Senate. That's even worse than our Congress, okay? He appointed a horse to be on the Senate. I mean, he's like really, really, really crazy, crazy guy. Interestingly, for the first year of his Malchus, they say he was sane and he was a very good emperor, and apparently he got sick or something, he became nuts, okay? But Caligula was a young nobleman, and the emperor at the time, after Augustus, the emperor was Tiberius. And they lived on an island somewhere, some vacation island. And one day, Agrippas and his young friend Caligula went for a ride in the countryside. And Agrippas told Caligula, I can't wait for this old man Tiberius to die and you'll be the king of Rome. Okay, now Agrippas was a Jewish, I'm saying his grandfather had been the king of Klal Yisrael, his father had been murdered. He lived 100% like a Roman. He dressed like a Roman, he talked like a Roman, he acted like a Roman. He was not a firm guy, okay? He lived in Rome, in Greece, whatever this island was, and he was not a firm guy. And when he told Caligula that he would love him to be king, Caligula did not argue with him. You know, I'm sure he was thinking the same thing. Problem was, this is amazing that we know this stuff, but this is documented. The driver, they were driving a chariot, the driver got caught stealing. So they wanted to put him to death, right? So he said, before you kill me, I have some interesting information. I know someone who wants the emperor to die. So they found out about this thing that Agrippa said. So Tiberius said that he should be thrown in jail. I think he originally said to kill him, whatever. He was thrown in jail. They treated him pretty nicely in jail. And then his klala came true. And Tiberius died. And Caligula became emperor. And Caligula freed all the prisoners because he wanted his friend to be free. And he couldn't just free his friend, so he freed all the prisoners so that Agrippa would become free. Why am I telling you this? Because he then took Agrippa, you can look this up, this is in secular history, and he made him the king of Judea. He made him the Melech of Klal Yisrael. Agrippa showed up, this Roman prince became the Melech Yisrael. And here's the part that is so unbelievable. You know what he did? This is Klal Yisrael. This is why you can't mess with Klal Yisrael, because we have this type of power. Agrippa did a full tshuva. He dressed like a yid. He started to do mitzvahs. He was humble. He was machnia himself to the chachamim. It's unbelievable. And how do we know this? Because people were able to be medayik from snippets of Gemaras and Tosefta's in different places. This part is not in history. You go look it up. Go Google it. You will not find this. We know this. Okay? We know this because the Gemara says in Saita that when Agrippa heard the Kriya, don't put a Goyish person to be your king, and he was a descendant of Goyim, he started to cry. And the Chachamim, they made a mistake, they shouldn't have done it, but the Chachamim said to him, achinu ata, you are our brother, you are our brother. And the Tosefta in Bikurim says, this is the last thing I saw about this, the Tosefta in Bikurim describes Agrippas carrying his basket of fruit to the Beis HaMikdash with everyone else, this former Roman prince, carrying his basket of fruit to the Beis HaMikdash. And when I read that, I was like thinking to myself, if we have a nation that could take a man who grew up in the palace of Augustus, do you know how trafe the palace of Augustus was? Do you know how trafe Caligula was? And could then come home, and he's not so sure if he's a yid or a guy, and neither are we. And he could humbly lead Klal Yisrael in the shadow of the Chachamim. That means that the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael has the power to penetrate anything. It doesn't become more than that. You understand? There's no Baal Tshuva that's that dramatic. You know what I mean? Like that is like going from inside the fire. You know what I mean? Like that's just incredible. So that's the power of the Netzach Yisrael, the power that Klal Yisrael has. And it's something for us to think about that, of course, it's not the point. We've talked about it enough over the week, about being nice ba'ol with Klal Yisrael, certainly. But this talk in the world about wiping Klal Yisrael off the map, do you know that? As soon as you hear someone talk that way about wiping Klal Yisrael off the map, that person is literally sitting and writing their death sentence. That's the hikdam midas harachamim. That's the impossibility of Bilam. It's an impossibility. Don't waste time losing sleep over those drooling fantasies. Okay? There's nothing there. We're still here today. Could you believe it? It's 2023. It's the end of 2023. We're still here. It's amazing. We've been to every country on earth. We've been to every government on earth. They can't stamp us out because the world was created for us. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. We are the role model and the emissaries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, there's a lot of a lot of sadness, a lot of difficulty, which we have spoken about and we will speak about. But tonight, that we said, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. We sat here tonight. We sat in a Beis Medrash, and we learned Hashem's Torah after a long day. And we put in hours of Talmud Torah, and we came up here and we sang Esa Einai Eleharim, Ezri Me'im Hashem, and then we sat and had Divrei Torah on the Parsha. We have our heads held high. We are part of a nation that will walk into the footsteps of Mashiach, Be'ezer Hashem, and Be'ezer Hashem bring the world with us in recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shekinah. Hey. Get some